If you would turn to Psalms 27, please, as we do our scripture reading for today. Amen. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be glorified. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Huh? What a God we serve, people. My Lord. Amen. This is our church reading together. So that means we read together. Okay? Amen. And I know you probably say, well, I don't want to be so loud. Hey, look, read the scripture. Read as loud as you want. It won't bother me. It may bother your neighbor, but it won't bother me. Or as low as you want. I want the word to get in you, okay? If you don't have the word in your lap, you can read it from the TV there, okay? Psalms 27, look at starting with verse 1. Y'all ready? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. 3. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. 8. When you said, seek you my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I seek. 9. Hide not your face far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Amen. 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. 12. Deliver me not over the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The whole scripture is important. This is David, King David, when his enemies were after him. And it says, wait, the last first verse, on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's make our declaration before him this morning. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We do want to welcome everyone here to our service. We want to welcome everyone that is watching online And we just pray the Spirit of the Lord, that you have already felt the Spirit of God upon your life like never before. My God, the Father says, wait. Wait upon the Lord, and he will encourage you, he will strengthen you, he will help you. See, that's what God does to his people. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 10, page 1789. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remember this, you serve a miraculous God. Amen. A miraculous God. Yes, not just some little puny little thing down the road, but a miraculous God that came in the flesh called Jesus Christ to die upon Calvary's cross for you and I, so that we would not face a hell, a burning of evil upon our lives, but God would give us what we needed and help us as we are here upon the earth, as we receive Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In verse chapter 10, look at starting with verse 17, and we'll get to the verse that I want to get to, okay? It says this, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, demons, are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. And even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight. Here we see God sent out 70 in his name, well, Jesus. And they went and they did ministry out there. And they came back to him and they were so excited because they said, even demons or evil spirits, all those things of the evil world, are submissive unto us. And we know that because God has said he's given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And they were so excited about what God had shown them, what they had seen. I'm sure they prayed over people. They did ministry. They did what God wanted them to do. And God, the Holy Spirit, would come in and move and break bondages of evil, sin, and all that stuff upon people's hearts and upon people's lives. And remember, you know, God has given us power to tread and to do over those things, not over people themselves, but over the spirit behind it, that God has given us that power and that authority. But he had to bring them back to reality. Yes, they are subject to you because of who Jesus is. Yes, these evil things are subject unto us, because we have made Jesus our Lord, our Savior, and our God. But he says this, we shouldn't rejoice at that. We should, now, we should be glad maybe. But he says, don't rejoice over that. You know? Because you see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit conquered the enemy. We know he's a conquered foe. And God is king over the heavens and over the earth. My Lord. But we don't have to, the word says, don't rejoice that they are subject to you because of who Jesus is in our hearts, who we have received as King and Lord and God. But he said, I want you to rejoice over something else. Over something else. And he says this. Look at verse 20. He says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My Lord, that's a time of rejoicing. Ooh, hallelujah. We are to rejoice because our names have been written in heaven. When we got saved, we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are to rejoice in our God. Rejoicing means to feel joy or great delight in. To rejoice in our God. Thanking you, Lord, that my name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. It talks about it. We're going to read it in Revelation. Or the redeemed, book of the Lord. Or the Lamb's book of life. Or the book of life. Whatever one you want to use. But you see, we should be rejoicing, saying, thank you, Lord. Because I tell you what, it took a great price so that your name could be written in heaven. It didn't come at an easy thing for Jesus Christ. It came because Jesus Christ did what the Father wanted him to do. And now we can rejoice what we're doing. And when we rejoice that our names are written in heaven, we're rejoicing in what God has done for us. Not in what the enemy is doing. He says, make sure you focus in, not on what the evil world, but focus in on what God has done for us. What Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross. We are to rejoice in Him. My God. Man, we get up in the morning, we may not feel like going to work. We may not even feel like getting up. But as we get up, we can rejoice that our name is in the book of life. My God, your name has been written in there. And no one can take it out except Jesus Christ. Just like Judas. Remember Judas that betrayed Jesus? His name was blotted out of the book of life. What a scary thought, huh? But we don't realize how secure we are in Christ. You might say, well, what if I sin a little bit? Will that blot my name out? No. Because your faith is in Christ, you see. He didn't say, to all that overcome, I will keep your name in the book. It says, all that put their faith in Christ. Now, we shouldn't allow things to come in. We should seek God with everything within us to be pure before Him. Before Him, our God, to allow Him to work. Because you see, there's some things you and I are doing today that God is not pleased with. We just don't know it. Till the light of the gospel shines in and He starts to convict us. We're living in the light that we know. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's where His mercy and His grace comes in. People think, well, I have to be perfect. There's none perfect except Jesus Christ. None. Zero. But I tell you what, we have to rejoice that our names are written in that book. And you know what? He, Jesus Christ, is the only one that's going to be able to open that book and reveal all the names in it. He's the only one that's worthy, because they talk about who is worthy, who is worthy, who is worthy to open the books. You're talking about two different books, but it's two books. You want your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I tell you what, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can rest assured that no one can take it out, because you're trusting in Him. You're saying, Lord, lead me and guide me and help me. And God is working. God is working. God is working. And He's moving in your heart and life. My Lord, we are to rejoice. Thank you, Lord, for my name, Lord, that He put it in that book. Signed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He did it for us. That we have access to the heavens above because of what Jesus did. Not because of what we've done. Accepted. Well, all we did was accept what God the Father sent to us. Jesus Christ. And he writes our name. People. Our salvation is so sure in him. We don't ever have to question, am I saved? When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, he starts to work and to move in us. You, all points bulletin, you won't be perfect. Every once in a while, you're going to have some bad attitudes. Every once in a while, you might say something that you shouldn't have said. Or did something you shouldn't have done. As a Christian, God convicts. Ooh. And we say, Lord, forgive me. And look, you're back on track. Thank God for his conviction power. My Lord, we should rejoice. He only convicts his sons and daughters. Interesting. Only his sons and only his daughters. Because the Spirit of God is working in us and through us. Rejoice in what God has done. Look at Revelation 21, please. Page 2218. Page 2218. Come on, let me get there. It's like it's page by page. Is that one of... Look at starting with verse 20, Revelation 21, verse 22 to 27. And it says this, and I saw no temple therein. This was John. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, my Lord. And the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We have such a great reward, people, because all we did was accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. This earth here, where we live today, we as Christians, this is what? We get saved, we're just passing through. And we're passing through to get the job done for the Lord. To tell people about Jesus. Not to tell people so much about our church or whatever church. But to tell people about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that they can have the same light that you're walking in. And as we're passing through, we're sharing about Jesus Christ constantly. That's who we are, because he lives in us. And we want everybody's name to be written in that book. That's what we want. You might say, well, pastor, sometimes they receive it, sometimes they don't. It's okay. You do what God tells you to do. You might water a little bit, somebody's seed of faith in them. You might give them a little bit of hope, a little bit here or there. But you do what God tells you to do, and God will one day bring somebody to harvest it. And if it's you, thank God. If it's somebody else, thank you, Lord. Look, the church is in the business of soul saving. If we ever get away from that, the body of Christ, and we rejoice more about the buildings we have, and we rejoice more about how much money we have, and we rejoice more how much prestige we have, we've lost the vision of our Lord and our Savior and our Commander in Chief. My God, my God, we can rejoice in the buildings we have or the money we have, but hell is wide open. We have to always rejoice in people's names being written, the soul of men and women coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, helping people to call upon Him, to accept what Jesus did at Calvary's cross in their hearts and in their lives. And God, in the meantime, will protect us. He will be with us, and He will supply for us. My God shall supply all my needs, all of our needs. For this church, for us as a body of believers, God shall supply all of our needs for us as individuals. Because we have done what God wanted us to do. The power of the Holy Ghost. My God, my God, my God, my God. Who can outgive God? No man, no woman. Who can outgive God? No one. Because He can move and He can do and He can change and He can help, my Lord, what God can do. The names, my God. Ooh, for God to move upon us. Sometimes we might forget the vision. Why did Jesus come? To save souls. Not so the church could be rich. Now, there's nothing wrong with a church being rich. Nothing wrong with money. He didn't come for us to be rich. He didn't come for us to drive two vehicles. He didn't come for us to live in mansions. Nothing wrong with it, okay? But He came for souls, people. He came for souls. Because I tell you what, once we close our eyes, or people that we know of close their eyes for the last time, look, they go to a place called heaven or hell. That's the two places. That's the two places. And so we have to be vigilant. We got to do what it takes to win souls for the kingdom of God. And I'm talking about really them seeking God. I'm not talking about they say it and no change. When God touches somebody and when they really receive Christ, there's a change in a person's life, huh? There's a change. They start to hate sin. They start to hate where they were or are doing. And God changes them and makes them what He wants them to be. My God, what a God we serve. Look, He's looking to us. Because we have to carry that banner of righteousness. We got to carry that banner of salvation to people. Look, honestly, most people I talk to about the Lord, they don't even know I'm a preacher. They didn't know. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian that loves God and wants to see God move. But then God works and it comes out after a while, I guess. Amen. So you just share about your God, what He's done. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I don't see people for a long time. You pray to God and you ask Him to give you a soul that you can witness to. Let me tell you, He will make the circumstances come about that you have somebody to talk to. And He will protect you in the meantime, helping you. 1 John 5:12 says, He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has no life. So people, you have life. Look, Jesus Christ is the answer for humanity. It's not money. It's not government. It's not family, and all those are important. But Jesus Christ is the answer to every ill of humanity, because it's only Jesus Christ that can go to the soul of a man or a woman and change them and help them and be with them and comfort them and deliver them. My God, what a God we serve. As He protects us and leads us and guides us in the right direction. There's a song I heard, and it's an old gospel song. Well, they kind of revise things. You know how they do that. They don't make new ones so much. They just revise the old, you know. That's where the anointing was or is. But it says this, and you recognize it. It says, He is all I need. He is all I need. All I need. He is all I need. And they keep saying, He is all I need. Christ is all I need. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call Him. All my needs He supplies. My thirsty soul He satisfies. For He's the Lord of all. He's all I need. He eases every pain. He fills my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. I need not turn to any other, for He's a friend closer than a brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as days go by. For He's the Lord of all. He's all I need. Christ is all I need. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all we need, people. We can search. We can search the internet till the end of time, and it will let you down. You can search the wisdom of man through many great philosophers and people, and it will let you down. You can search the greatest brain in all of the world, and him or her can give you the greatest wisdom, but without God, it will not help. Because you see, Christ is the answer. His word is the answer. And there's nothing wrong with going to His word continuously. That's what He desires from His people. Our greatest thing is communion with Christ. I want you to turn to Luke 10 again. Verse 38, Matthew, Mark, Luke. 10. A very common scriptures. It says this about Mary and Martha. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, or it could be distracted, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. And really the comment said is said in a pitying love. You are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose the greater part. How's your relationship to the Lord? Is your relationship to the Lord a Mary? Or is your relationship to the Lord a Martha? Which one? You might say, well, you know, I can't answer for you. Only I can answer for myself. In which that's what we want. You see? These were two sisters that invited him to come to their home. And Martha got mad at Mary. Because Mary, as Jesus walked in to their home, he sat there. And he just was teaching them. And maybe at one point, Martha was there too. But she got so busy, and that's just an application of the spirit realm, where we get so busy. Everybody has the same amount of time in a day. I know there's certain things, but we need, you ask the Lord and he'll give you wisdom. Show you how to get that time in with him. How to spend that marvelous time of 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour reading and his word and receiving from him. You see? Mary took the highway, basically. She sat there and could care less if the chicken burnt. I'm not saying ladies don't cook. I don't want some mad men at me. What I'm saying is, take a priority with Christ. Sit at his feet and learn from him. Take that word that's upon your lap and read it. Let it get into your heart and life. Martha missed out on what Mary received at the foot of Jesus. It's an amazing thing. They were both in the house, huh? One got more from Jesus than the other. Are you getting more with Mary in your life? I'm talking about Mary being that part. I'm not talking about praying her. Just that Mary situation of enjoying Jesus. Enjoying him. You see, our names have been written, as we read in Revelations. It's been written. And God has so many things that he has in store for us in the future. But you know what? There's a lot of things that he has in store for us now. And sometimes we're not getting the now because we haven't spent time with him. He will only entrust with us what he can give us that he can trust us with. I want you to get everything God has in store for you. I want you to sit down with him and him speak with you by the Holy Ghost, that you know him in a better way than ever before, that the Spirit of Almighty God encourages you. And we do like what we read, the church reading, Psalms 27, the last verse, 14, that we wait upon the Lord and we will be encouraged. You know why so many people are burnt out on Christianity, or how many preachers are burnt out on Christianity? They burn out because there's so many people pulling all different directions. But you see, if they take the time to let the Holy Spirit work, to let the Holy Spirit encourage on the inside, to give you what you need. Doesn't God know what you need more than what you know you need? Yes. So let's get with him. It doesn't mean that you have to just sit in a closet and, okay, Lord, speak to me. But you know, take some time with him, because he's wanting to speak. He's wanting to give you direction. He's wanting to give you help. And we can only get that help as we do like Mary. Sit at his feet. And he brings us the message that we need. He gives us the wisdom that we need. He gives us the hope that we need. He gives us the direction that we need. See, we're looking to him. We're looking to him. Martha missed out on a lot. And I can understand in a way she wanted to get things done. But she missed out on the King. If Jesus physically would come back today, and not to the trump sounds, the Holy Spirit is here. But if Jesus came down physically and was walking around and you saw him and you said, come to my house. And he says, okay, I'm going. And he comes in and he sits and you go and you cook dinner. He's going to just look at you like, I have a lot to give you. Or you go and you start vacuuming. Or you go clean your car, or you mow grass, or you do whatever. And those things are important. But when Jesus is in the house, he's the most important thing. Okay? Well, we got to live it. When Jesus is in the house, when Jesus is in the church, when Jesus is there, the Holy Ghost is there, he's the most important thing. We don't have to worry about our bills tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen next week. We don't have to worry about none of those things. All we got to look to is Jesus Christ. He's here. He's here. He's here in my home. And look, by the Holy Ghost, he can be in everybody's home at the same time. Are you inviting him to spend time in your home? Are you inviting him to spend time in your heart and life? But what if he doesn't come? He will be there. It says, call upon me and I will answer you. Call upon me and I will be there for you. We don't have to look to the world for anything, people. We look to our God that moves upon people, and he will get what you need for your life. Because that's who we serve. We trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the problem. We trust him with half our heart, or a third of our heart, or a fourth of our heart, or, heaven forbid, an eighth or a sixteenth. And we don't want that. And he doesn't want that. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. He's written your name. And look, when we pass away, whatever, if he comes again before we all pass away, whatever, we're going with him. When we die, we will wake up, if you want to put it that way, because that's what we know, we will wake up in heaven. Your spirit will not wander around all over the place. That doesn't happen. Your spirit, it says, you can read it, it says that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with who? The Lord. Oh, my God. And so when we pass away, that's what we do. We go to heaven to be with our Lord and Savior as he welcomes us in, people. The transition, I know none of us have transitioned yet. We all still here. But I'm sure the transition for a Christian is marvelous. I know every one of us probably, for the most part, maybe not everyone, has maybe seen a Christian pass away. And it's like it's just glory. Oh, they're just, there's no struggle. They know where they're going. And they see things beyond what we can see. My God. That's the kind of God we serve. He's written your name down. You can rest assured, so you can come to him and say, look, Father, speak to me. Show me things. Reveal to me. Help me. Okay? That's the kind of God we serve. That he can help us throughout our lives. Because you see, he protects us. He protects us. Why does he protect us? Because we're his children. That's the power of Almighty God.